This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua, Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina just said that the chiddush of Kansa Harei Kishtai is that you could divorce a Yavama with a get and take her back. So the Gemara asks, Machzira Pshita, of course you could take her back. Why would you not be able to take her back? Says Gemara, Mahu Deteima, I would have thought mitzvah derama rachman alei. The Torah put a mitzvah on you, avda, you did the mitzvah. So you did the mitzvah. So now, you normally can't live with an Eish HaSach, but to be mekayim the mitzvah, you were able to live with an Eish HaSach. So, and Tosfos explains, you could continue to live with her, many biyos, Tosfos says, and we're not going to say, well, you did the mitzvah and it's over. Because it's a svara, the Torah would never say, do yibam to her, and then divorce her. But once you divorced her, then, v'hashta tekem alei b'esar eish hasach, I would think that the esar eish hasach should stand up. Kamash malan, the chiddush is that the esar eish hasach does not stand up, and you would be allowed to marry her again. Says Gemara ve'im ha'chanami, maybe taka, you're not going to live with her. Amarkra, Ulakacha loy leisha, you take her as a wife. Kivan shalakacha, once you're miyabim the woman, naasis keishtai, she becomes like your wife. And just like if your wife you could divorce and take back, so too the yavama you could divorce and take back. Okay. Bilvad shetehe ksubasa al nichse bal harishan, provided that her ksuba is responsibility on the estate of the first husband, not on the estate of the second husband. My taima, what's the reason? Isha hiknu lai min hashamayim. They transacted a woman to him from the heavens, meaning he never wanted to marry her, so he never took responsibility to pay her ksuba. The responsibility of the ksuba rests on the estate of the first husband. Says the Gemara, V'i lesla may reshine, but if the first husband does not have property, isla misheni, then she gets a ksuba from the second guy, kadei shaloi te kala b'inav lohitzia, so that it should not be easy in the guy's eyes to get rid of her. So, the question though is, if ultimately, if the first guy doesn't have property, she's going to collect from the second guy, then he's responsible. Because think of it this way. The property is achroi to the ksuba. If there is no property, then it's going to fall on him. Right? Because basically, this woman's getting, by hook or by crook, she's getting her ksuba. Either she's getting from the estate of the first guy, and if the first guy doesn't have anything, she gets it from the second guy. Because now, so let's think for a moment, does he gain anything by us being lenient on him and saying that she collects the ksuba from the first guy's estate? Shkoyach! But the Yavam inherited that estate. So what does it do for him that she gets it from his estate? Yeah? You hear the question? In other words, anyway, the guy's going to have to pay either way. Tosfos says on Pei Aleph, very interesting Tosfos. The second Tosfos on the bottom says, if the first guy doesn't have, she's going to get from the second guy. So then, is the second guy really benefiting by the fact that we say that the ksuba is on nechse, the first person's possessions? But how does that help him at all? Because he's the one who inherits it. So either it comes from the first brother, and if he doesn't inherit anything, it's going to come from the second one. So Tosfos says something very interesting. If the deceased sold property, she will sooner collect from the sold property than from the property currently in the possession of the living Yavam, because the living Yavam only has to pay the ksuba if there is no estate for her to collect from the first brother. Okay. Weiter. Now, lo yomer lah, he should not say to her, "Rei ksuba seich, here's your ksuba." He cannot say, the Yavam can't say to the Yavama, "Look, I want to be able to sell my deceased brother's assets, so here I'm designating the ksuba over here, and you'll collect it from this designated amount, and I'm going to sell the rest of the possessions." And then the Mishnah goes on to say the same thing for a husband and a wife. Says Gemara, "May v'chein." Why does it have to say the same thing for a husband and a wife? What I would think a husband could say to his wife, "Here I'm designating the ksuba from this rishus, and I'm selling the rest."
So the Gemara said before that it was, we bring from that a raya that it was a mita taiva.
Did we? I thought he's not allowed to. Here, the Gemara says, why would I think that a husband could say this to a wife? Meaning, Rashi says, "Pshita mi griya ishta mi yavimtai." Is the wife worse than a yavama? Now, what's the reason why you're not supposed to designate a ksuba? Is because of eva, because of bad will. So Gemara says, "Mal detema hasamhu." I would say only by yavama you can't designate an amount for her to collect her ksuba. Dulei kasavla dekanoi udekanina, because he didn't write that any land that I was kaina and any land that I will be kaina is meshubet to your ksuba. So since by a yavama he wasn't meshabed land that he bought or that he will buy. So if he's going to designate a certain amount for the ksuba, it's going to create eva. Why? Because she's thinking to herself, wait a second, he's designating an amount. What's going to happen if that money that he designates gets lost? What am I going to do? I'm going to have to go collect from lekuchais. That's a pain in the neck to go collect from land that was sold. Elamai, maybe he'll buy land in the future. Nah, that's not meshubet to me. So that will create eva. Aval hacha, but by a husband and wife, the kasavla de kanoi de kanina, where he says that any land that I bought or I will buy is meshubet to the ksuba. Ema, I would say samchadaita. She's reliant, because she says, even if this amount gets lost, but any future land, past land that he sold, that he bought, that I don't want to have to deal with, because I don't want to have to go to Lekuchais, but future land will be in his Rishus, and she'll collect from that. Kamash Malan, that even that is still going to be a violation of Eva, because the Rashi explains, the mere thought that he's trying to already make arrangements regarding how to pay the ksuba, that means that divorce is on their mind. Divorce is on their mind, and it could create eva. By the way, you know, I was thinking, I remember when I was in my smicha year, we took a rabbinic training course. Don't ask what that means. And one of the issues that they discussed was They discussed a method that I think it's become somewhat widespread, I would say, outside of the yeshiva world. In the yeshiva world, it did not really, I don't think they do it, but outside, some type of prenuptial agreement. And Rabbi Yashiv, I know, is against it. And I think that's one of the reasons why in the yeshiva world they don't do it. But Rabbi Yashiv was against it because he said the fact that such formal thought is given to the eventuality of divorce and what the arrangement will be and how to secure the situation makes it more of a realistic possibility. Now, I don't know exactly what the svara is, but here we're learning that maybe there's an element of eva, a certain element of eva involved, where in the onset, it's discussed and it's dealt with in a legal fashion, so it could create a certain element of eva. Here we see where the husband merely says, here, I'm designating money for you in case of divorce, even though, by the way, it could be that he won't end up divorcing her. Maybe he'll die. You know, there's no eva if you're preparing for death. I mean, there's no, you're allowed to write a life insurance policy. So, okay, you just see that, you see this type of svara of Misham Eva in dealing with arrangements for a get during the time that they're married. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Gerusha ein la ksubasa. If he divorces her, he only gives her the ksuba. What does it mean he only gives her the ksuba? What else is he supposed to give her? Diet Coke? What does it mean gerusha, if he divorces her, ein la ksuba? Says Gemara, gerusha in. If he divorces her, she gets the ksuba. Loi gerusha loi. But if he doesn't divorce her, then he doesn't give her the ksuba. So, well, what exactly does this mean? What is he supposed to give her? So again, the diuk would then have to be that if he gives her a get, then she only gets the ksuba. And what does that mean? And then she gets the ksuba. And then he inherits the rest of the estate. But if he didn't divorce her, then what? She doesn't get the ksuba. Look at Rashi. Gersha in hu da aminan ein la el ksuba. Only if they get divorced, he gives her the ksuba. Then ba limkar menashar yimkar, and he could sell the rest. But loy gersha, if he didn't divorce her, the deal is not she doesn't get the ksuba. Obviously, she doesn't get the ksuba. It's gersha, he could sell. Loy gersha, he can sell. Who does this go like? Like we learned earlier, this goes like Rabbi Abba. This comes to teach me the chiddush of Rav Abba, who we learned earlier, that Rav Abba holds if the only way that the guy could come up with a method to sell his brother's estate is if he divorces her and takes her back. Right? Remember on the bottom of Pei Aleph. Rabbi Abba Omer, Sha'alti Yisumcha, Saroy Tzashim, Kabnech Sayachiv, Ketzar Oysa, Im Koyin Hu, Yasa Suda V'Yafayis, Im Yisrael Hu, Megarish Beget V'Yachzer. So there's a riot to Rabbi Abba. Hechzira Hari Kachal Nashim. If he takes her back, she's like all women. And Ve'en La Elik Subasa. All she gets is her ksuba. Says Gemara, now, by the way, he takes her back and all she gets is the ksuba. That means the obligation to give her a ksuba is just restored to the original agreement that they started with. There's no new obligation of a ksuba. Says Gemara Hechzira, if he takes her back, my kamashwan, what's the chiddush that all she gets is the ksuba? Tanina, we learned this in a Mishnah. Hamagarish says to Isha Machzir, if someone who divorces a woman and he takes her back, Amanak Ksubasa, Ksuba Rishon Machzir, he's taking her back with the stipulation of the first Ksuba. Why would this Yavama be different than any other wife? Says the Gemara, Mahu the Tam, I would say Ishtahu the Iu Kasavla Ksuamine, that a person's wife, that he writes to her a ksuba from him. So then, what is Meshabe the ksuba? He was Meshabe the ksuba. So when he takes her back, it remains the same. Avu Yivimta Dolayu Kasavla, but the Yivama, he didn't write her the first ksuba. So Hecha de Gershav Ahadra Ema Ksuba. So I would think if he divorces her and takes her back, now he's responsible for the ksuba. Kamash Malan, that not, that he is only taking her back. Amanas ksuba harishaina. Okay, now we're going to learn some Jewish history. Okay, after this whole parak, the Shas is rewarding us with some historical notes. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, "Barishayna hayakaisin lebesula masayim la'manama." In the beginning, at first, they would write for a besula 200 zuz, and for almana 100 zuz. Meaning, that's it. No karka is meshubet for the ksuba. The problem was there was a shidduch crisis. But get a load of this. This is like in the Hasidish world. The shidduch crisis was the other way around, where nobody wanted to marry the guy. The guys couldn't find the shidduch. The guys were getting old. They were already 19 and a half years old, and they couldn't find the shidduch. Nobody wanted to marry them. Why? Because why would any woman marry a guy if the guy is not being meshabed karka for the ksuba? Ad Shaba Shimon ben Shetach v'tikein, until Shimon ben Shetach came along, and he was besake kol nechasav achron l'ksubasa. All of the estate, all of the items, all of the possessions of the husband are responsible for the ksuba. Tanya Namihachi. We learned in a brass like this as well. Barishan hayu kaisrin lebesula masayim la'amana amana. At first they wrote for a besula 200 and amana amana. Bahayu maskinin v'ayu noisim nashim. The men got old and nobody wanted to marry them. Hiskinu shayu menichin oisam b'vesaviyah. So chamim were masakein. That you know what he does? He should leave the money in her father's house. And this way, in case of divorce, she could always get it. I mean, what was the problem? Why wouldn't a woman want to get married? Because she'll say, he's going to divorce me and have no way to collect the ksuba. But this is what we tell. What do you mean you have no way to collect the ksuba? Sure, you have a way to collect the ksuba. He left you money in your father's possession. But still, he would get angry at her and say, go take your ksuba. He had nothing to lose. Because it was already out of his domain. It was in the father, in the Shver's house. So he said to her, you know what? I already gave the money, so go take it and leave. So they were masakin to leave it in her father-in-law's house, meaning in his house. Now, she got very nervous about that. What would that do? This way, he had something to lose if he divorced her, namely, the money in his house. Now, she wanted to prevent that. So, Ashirois oisoisoisa kolasa shel kesef shel zav. The rich women made baskets of silver and gold. Why would they do this? They would make it, Rashi says, cases to put their hats in. And they had a bigger ksuba, so therefore they made a nicer object. And aniyos hayu oisus oisa avet shal meiraglayim. And the poor women used the money to make urinals. But what was the point of that? This way, it was not something that he's going to take. Meaning, if it would just remain as cash, we're afraid he'll take it. Rashi says, why would they do this? What was the motivation of the woman in making these items? I guess they were designated for her, so nobody else could use it. But still, when he would get angry at her, Aymerla, he would say, Tlik subasech v'tzi'i. Go take your ksuba and leave. Go take your item. Because it was already sort of her personal item. So what's he going to do with it? So he would easily say, just go take it and get lost. Ad Shabbos Shimon ben Shatach, the tikein shehe koisivla kol nechsi achron l'ksubasa. Until Shimon Shatach was masakin, that he would write to her, all of my nechasin are achroi in the ksuba. So this is the conclusion of the 8th parak. And the Gemara is addressing how to deal with a husband that's koyes alishtai, as we learned in the beginning of the Masechta. The 13 prakim of Ksubas correspond to the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. And Be'ez Hashem, next week, Chodesh Nisan, we begin Parak HaKoyseiv LeIshtai. And B'siyata D'Shemaya, Hashem should help us understand that. Have a great night, everyone. Shkoyach. Hadron Alach Ha'isha.
Shkoyach.
Shkoyach. Good night, good night. Kol tov. Be well. Kol tov. Good night, kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.